Hello and welcome to a new episode of the From the Studio podcast. I'm your host, Isa Lane, and today we dive deeper into the complexities of NIL dues for international athletes here in the United States. In June 2021, the NCAA passed a new policy where athletes can engage in NIL, also known as name, image, likeness. And since money is involved, there are some complications for internationals and their F1 student visas. Nearly 25,000 international student athletes compete in the NCAA sports. So let's get more clearance on the top. First up, Donna Kirk, Senior Associate Athletic Director for Compliance and Administration at the University of North Florida, explains what NIL is.
Name, image, likeness is in place to provide collegiate athletes an opportunity to monetize their name, their image, or their likeness in the general marketplace to see, you know, what their services, you know, what value that they bring to a brand or a company that, you know, would use their services to promote their product or service.
Where domestic athletes fall under state level rules, international athletes have to deal with the federal rules and are bound to their visa restrictions.
Student athletes that are competing for colleges in the U.S. Are bound by their F1 visa status, their F1 visas that they come over here and you have your I-20 document. And so in order not to jeopardize restrictions associated with that and get deported, you've got to stay within those parameters. And so some of those parameters include employment, right? So, and what money that you can earn.
It has become a confusing topic for internationals, and many mistakenly think that they are banned from participation in any NIL engagement. They often think it is too complicated and are scared that their visas are in danger. I got to talk about this topic with Smilla Kolbe, a German track and field athlete for the University of North Florida.
There are probably some gray zones or things you can work out with, I guess. It sounds really complicated to me, honestly, so I don't know exactly how that would work, so I never actually looked into something and how I could do it, I guess. So yeah, I don't do anything with NIL just because it sounds a little complicated.
With all this confusion, I was wondering if the NCAA could do a better job in educating their athletes. I asked Scott McKenzie about the topic. McKenzie is a student athlete at Lipscomb University. He works for their compliance and is heavily involved by the Student Athlete Advisory Committee at institutional, ASIN conference, and national NCAA level.
If you'd asked me 2 years ago, I would have said yes, 100%. I think the NCAA has taken leaps and bounds to get far stronger at educating student athletes and kind of making it hopeful for student athletes at institutions that aren't your Power Fives. They came out with something called NIL Assist, which is a great tool on the NCAA's website where you can see what, you can't see who it is or what they're doing, brand deals, but you can see, like, you can split it up per mid-majors versus Power Fives and what the average earning for NIL deal is between those two, because you have to disclose them to the NCAA or to your compliance department that goes to the NCAA. So things like the NIL Assist, compliance education, I think the NCAA has done a great job in the last year and a half in that.
Compliance at UNF offers the athlete STRAT. The university works together with an international consultant who sends recommendations on how not to jeopardize the visas if the athletes choose to participate in NIL. Donna explains how the athlete STRAT works and how this is an opportunity for international athletes.
So with the athlete STRAT, how that works is they will produce a jersey or uniform or whatever, depending on the sport. And they could put that particular student athlete's number on it, their name on it. And so how it works is that the student athlete is just giving athlete's thread their permission to take what is going to be a jersey that's affiliated with them, either by the number that they wear or their name, and allow that entity to sell those jerseys, and then that athlete receives a percentage of the income. So kind of like a commission on the sales, or you know, they just kind of split the revenue. And because that student athlete is not doing anything to go out and promote that jersey sale, and they're not actively selling it, it's considered passive income.
And that's what an international cannot do.
Can do.
Oh, can do.
Can do, because it's passive. So meaning that you're not doing anything but giving permission for this company to use your name or image or likeness to sell that jersey.
Okay.
And apparently, passive income is not the only way internationals can engage in NIL.
It is possible for an international student athlete to engage in NIL in their home country or in a country that's not their own. It's really dependent on the tax laws of that other country.
Since NIL is evolving so quickly, a lot can happen in the future. I asked Donna what she thinks the next 5 to 10 years will look like.
Yeah, well, I do hope that there is some kind of restriction where student athletes don't become employees. I think that that would be honestly, some unintended consequences that student athletes don't even realize.
I think it's better for the sport itself, too.
Yeah, I mean, employee status is, it just opens up a whole nother set of laws that just don't want to go down that road.
It was a great opportunity to talk to Donna, Smilla, and Scott, and I hope they give you more clearance on the topic. If you're an international athlete, know that it is possible to engage in NIL. But please make sure to discuss things with compliance first. They will look at it and work things out with you. And if you want to learn more about the topic, you can read my article as well. I attached a link to the description of this episode. I'm your host, Isa Lane. Thank you for listening to the From the Studio podcast.